So I think that's probably about it for the new system. Oh, yes, Sadia. Mike. That is the biggest mic I've ever seen. And doesn't it bring to mind all kinds of strange words?
Like a corn. You touched on a strata by laws and discrimination based on family with children. I dealt with a case a year and a half ago in which actually is one of the Simpsons brother, the one who write for the Sun. He was renting and the wife had a child and the strata threatened to find the owner and he challenged it and he won. And I thought that after that they are not allowed to keep those rules.
No. It's kind of weird, Sadia, but everybody else's human rights legislation says for the purpose of this legislation, no matter whether it's housing services or whatever, these are the groups of people that are protected, right? In our human rights legislation, it says in employment, these people are protected. In services, those people are protected. In purchase of property, those people are protected. What's really weird is people who own stratas rent them. So while the strata can say to the owner, there are no children here, if the owner tries to rent to someone who has children and then says, sorry, you can't have this place, then these new people with kids have a human rights complaint against the owner for violating the human rights code, and the owner's caught between a rock and a hard place because the strata's rule is legal. So what we need to do is find somebody who gets turfed from a strata on the birth of their child. That's how we did it in tenancy. We had a client, actually BCPAC and our coalition, we had a client who got turfed on the birth of her child, and we filed under Section 16 of the Charter that our legislation was deficient. And the court agreed and ordered the government to put family status and age into tenancy under the human rights. Now, any government worth its salt would say, oh my goodness, weren't we awful? Let's fix stratas while we're at it. No. Not fixed.
Thanks.
Okay then, yeah.
One more question about the filing online. How are you going to deal with rural areas about filing online? I think the access to internet is not everywhere possible. And also not everybody is familiar with this.
Yes, I agree. We have three major problems in our clinic which may lose our partners the contract. Those are proper provincial representation, the question of a means test, and what's the third? There is a third. I can't remember it offhand now. But we have some real, real problems that we have to work out. But we're committed. I'm certainly committed in traveling to find a way. Somebody said, will you come to Dawson Creek? I said, yes. Aline was just there, weren't you?
Yes, Fort St. John.
You don't want to do that in a library.
No, you don't. You don't. Ah, the third problem is the government's telling us we have to represent complainants and respondents. Now, we can certainly do it in education. I do it now, right? I do education in Weyerhaeuser, and I hope the deals they're making with First Nations have something to do with the fact that they're finally getting educated in human rights. You can go to employers and say, here's what happens when a complaint is filed against you. Here's some assistance in how to deal effectively and in the cheapest way possible with a human rights complaint. But when it gets to litigation in class or when it gets to our paralegals, we don't have a clue how we're going to represent respondents. Okay, well, I'd like you to meet Aleem, one of our new lawyers out of the class side of the clinic, and he's going to come and talk to you about our litigation arm.
I'll just take a couple of minutes. As Susan mentioned, there's
three lawyers that have been hired with the clinic, and CLASS is happy to be involved with the coalition in this human rights project, human rights clinic project. One lawyer joined us as recently as 10 days ago, and Jim Poser, who is the executive director of CLASS, is also very involved in overseeing the human rights clinic. At the last board of directors, CLASS board of directors meeting, which was earlier this month, we struck a human rights committee, and I'm happy to report that the chair of that committee is Bill Black himself, so there's some comfort there. As Susan may have mentioned, this is all a work in progress. One of the more interesting challenges we face, as she mentioned, is how to effectively provide legal access to the entire province. We have found that with technology, including toll-free calling, email, laptops, and portable printers, we have been able to successfully represent complainants in hearings in areas such as Fort St. John and Prince Rupert. We already have our first reported decision, Jacob and Mingles Lounge, a hearing which was held in Fort St. John earlier this month, where the tribunal ordered a comparatively high award to the complainant compared to past decisions. So the system seems to be working so far. And the clinic model works well by the fact that lawyers and staff are involved exclusively in one defined area of law, and they can develop an expertise. And our goal is to become the preeminent legal service providers in the area of human rights. And so please feel free to contact us at CLASS or at the Coalition anytime you have questions about the clinic, which is being jointly operated by our two bodies. And there's some materials here that the Coalition is providing that provides further information on the current system. And also, I was told to mention that we have some evaluations that you are supposed to fill out based on the...
In a certain way, too.
But we're happy to answer questions now as well that I'm sure you may have a few.
Terry had a comment, and then perhaps we have a few minutes for questions.
I just wanted to mention that similar to TRAC's situation right now, where there's changes in the system, there is going to be an entirely new complaints process for human rights in the province. And as a result of that, a lot of our publications, as well as a website that we were hoping to launch on December 10th, is going to be delayed for some period of time until we know, in fact, what that new complaints process is going to look like. The publications that have been distributed to you today, your rights to know, are in fact for the current complaints process that is in force right now. And I would expect once the new complaints process is better known to us, we will be putting together a pamphlet that addresses that system. One further note, the Coalition has also actually moved offices within the same office building, or suites within the same office building. The address that you probably have is Suite 1300, 510 West Hastings, and it should be Suite 1202. And all other contact information is the same.
Hi, is that a quick question? So does everybody agree that it should have, up there, that you agree that the Human Rights Commission should have been dismantled because it wasn't effective? And what's going to happen with all the old, with all these cases that you say were backlogged from before? Are you guys going to, is their investigations going to go ahead, or are you guys going to start up something totally new for these people that have been waiting so long already?
I think there was a time when we supported and tried to support the BC Human Rights Commission with everything that we had. But by the time the administrative justice project started in 2001, I think Well, we've brought Aline from Ontario, so it's unfair to put him on the spot. But I think that our two organizations both felt that the commission couldn't be saved. What's going to happen with those 400 files is we're going to find a way to get them properly represented before the tribunal. As long as they've been referred, those people have a statutory right to their day before the tribunal. And until April 1, you will be able to file a complaint with the BC Human Rights Commission. It's no longer doing investigations, but it will serve the complaint on the respondent and make a determination based on the reply of the respondent and do the best it can to determine whether it should be referred to a tribunal or not. The cases that are going through now, that we're seeing now, are only 1 year old, so it looks like you're getting fairly good service right now.
I'm just wondering about the people who don't have access to the internet. Is there still like local offices, or is there a place to get information and the filing forms and so on?
Both of our organizations have a 1-800 number, which you're welcome to use. And secondly, we will find ways to make our service accessible throughout the province to all people protected by the Human Rights Code. Some of it's a bit of a challenge now, but we'll find a way. But use our 1-800 number to tell us you're there and it isn't working, and then we'll find a way to make it work.